This, you could call this the slow fall of the industrial era. Maybe we're heading into some kind of a I don't know what. When you think of what resources are really renewable, the only resource that does not give out, does not wear down, is sunshine, which creates which allows us creatures to live, and it allows us to build up the soil. So we may be heading into a kind of an agricultural future, sort of after this sort of 3 or 4 century interlude of industrialism has come and gone. We may be back where we started, which is growing food in a sustainable way to feed ourselves, growing building materials, growing wood and trees and bamboo to build our homes, and using the sunshine to create a modest amount of electric power to run our equipment. And so that may be the future. And so right now it is The Future on KABU is our next show. This is your radio station, and stay tuned. This has been Fight the Empire, and my name is Pierre Fagre, and so stay tuned to KBOO, your radio station.
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9:30.
Welcome to Sprouts, radio from the grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a global audience, produced at a different location every week. I'm Stephanie Schubert with Pacifica Network, and today on Sprouts, GOP unemployment bills that are alarming for Iowa workers. Two bills, SSB 1172 and HSB 203, were introduced in February and would both reduce unemployment benefits for Iowans. Here to tell us more are Dennis Hart and Laura Bellin from Capital Week on KHOI Radio Ames, Iowa. And then we will hear from workers who say this bill would be devastating for their financial security. They spoke at a conference put on by the Iowa Federation of Labor on February 23rd.
A House bill would cut jobless benefits for workers and reduce dependent benefits for people with large families. Talk about that one.
This is definitely a live wire. It's through committees in both the House and the Senate, which means that it's eligible for debate anytime the rest of this year. So there are several pieces to it. It's something that's promoted by the Iowa Workforce Development Agency and several major business groups. The first part is that people would have a 1 week delay before they received any unemployment benefits at all. That would be everybody. Everybody who lost a job and filed for unemployment would have to wait one additional week before you could start collecting. And it's hard to understand really the justification for that, but that's part of it. Another issue is that they are reducing the number of dependents. So right now, if you have up to four kids, I mean, you can claim each of your children as a dependent, and that would slightly increase your unemployment benefit. In the future, you'll be able to claim just one dependent. So whether you have one child or six children, you get the same amount of money. So it's going to reduce unemployment benefits for people with more than one child. There, in the committees, in one of the committees, a Democrat proposed an amendment that said, well, let's at least not tax unemployment benefits, because a lot of people don't realize this. In Iowa, unemployment benefits are taxable income. And the person who was leading the subcommittee said to the committee, said, well, we don't have money in the budget to do that, to make unemployment benefits not subject to taxation. But somehow we have money in the budget to do a lot of other things. So this is one. It hasn't been scheduled for debate in the House or the Senate yet, but it seems to have some momentum. And I think that it's something. I mean, we're far, far below the employment level of before the pandemic. So there are still many more unemployed Iowans than there were at any time in the past 10 years. And so this bill would really affect a lot of people if it goes through.
Here is Charlie Wishman, president of the Iowa Federation of Labor.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Charlie Wishman. I have the honor and privilege of serving as the president of the Iowa Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO. Last night, the Iowa House Labor Committee debated for over 5 hours cuts to unemployment benefits. Lost in all of the talk about tax tables and how this state can apparently continue to line the pockets of big businesses, the human impact that being on unemployment brings. Among the many anti-worker proposals in House Study Bill 203 and Senate Study Bill 1172 are things like making workers wait an extra week for benefits, reducing the dependent benefit for workers with families, reducing the amount of weeks that someone can be on unemployment in the case of a business or plant closing, and even forcing people to take work that might not sustain their families. And inexplicably, this is all being done during a global pandemic. And even if the enactment date on this is set further out, we still don't know when this pandemic is going to be over, let alone are we going to know when the economic crisis that came along with this health pandemic, we don't even know when that economic crisis for working Iowans is going to be over. Now is not the time to be cutting unemployment benefits, period, but especially it's not the time during a global health pandemic. Joining us today are three Iowans who've been through plant closings and layoffs before. They know the pain and anxiety that goes with workers being faced with job loss and being forced onto unemployment. And I think that that's really our goal here today, is really to actually put a face and some story behind what it actually is like for people to be on unemployment. It's nothing that anyone wants to do or likes to be on. And again, I'll let our three guests tell their stories and exactly what it meant to them and what they and their families went through when they were on unemployment. So first, we are joined by Carrie Duncan, who's a member of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, Local Lodge 310. Then we'll hear from Kelly Harrison, who's a member of United Auto Workers, Local 893. And lastly, we'll be joined by Scott Putney, who was a member of the United Steelworkers, a member of BCTGM, the Bakers Union, and is currently the president of the Iowa Western Iowa Labor Federation. I think we're going to go ahead and start with Carrie, and she can tell you a little bit about her experiences that she's had over the years dealing with unemployment. So, Sister Carrie, go ahead and take it away.
Thank you, President Wishman. And my name is Carrie L. Duncan. I'm a member of IAMAW Machinist Local 1010 and a production operator for American Ordnance at the Iowa Army Ammunition Plant in Middletown, Iowa. I am speaking in opposition to Senate Study Bill 1172 out of concern about this atrocity of wanting to make it a financial hardship on Iowa working class citizens and their families when there comes a time that they are in need of unemployment benefits in the state of Iowa. Let me speak to you of two recent examples. Just this last week at our facility, there were approximately 85 to 90 operators that were in need of filing for 1 week of unemployment due to an unexpected issue that arose on the line. At no fault of the workers, and our company could not fulfill the promise of a 40-hour work week for these operators on this specific line. These are my coworkers, some that have family at home to financially support, that are counting on that 40-hour a week paycheck, as the bills will continue to come regardless. And the state unemployment fund, during a pandemic, wants to impose further duress by delaying them receiving an income due to a 10-day waiting period on unemployment compensation, or the coworker that I sit across from in the break room that just lost his wife due to cancer and has endured the mental anguish, suffering the grief of loss, and now has to worry about waiting for 10 days for an unemployment check to help cover funeral expenses? Why? I ask you, why would we even want to put our hardworking Iowans in a position such as this? Another example, a manufacturing company here in Burlington, Iowa, ABB, announced right before Christmas that they would be closing their facility in the spring of 2021. This affects approximately 400 workers. There are going to be a lot of these employees of whom will need the financial assistance through the Iowa Unemployment Insurance until they can find another job. This factory will decimate our local economy, as people will be less likely to shop locally to help stimulate our local economy and businesses. These workers were also promised they could be eligible for unemployment benefits for more than 26 weeks. And now, this preposterous notion of lowering the weeks to availability is completely a travesty to Iowa workers. Lastly, I was laid off at my facility one time for approximately 6 months. So I went to work at a job that worked 40 hours per week, beginning at $7.25 per hour, of which was a $5.59 per hour pay cut. And I found myself literally going in the hole, working. How can we logically find this acceptable to continue to build a prideful workforce, instilling valuable work ethic here in the state of Iowa? I implore you to stop and think about the impact that these changes would have on working class Iowans and their families. These are Iowans that are counting on their elected legislatures to do what is not only necessary in providing work Iowans with beneficial unemployment availability to benefit them and their families in difficult times, but to do what is just and right for all of our working class Iowans. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I just said, thank you, Sister Carrie. You're a great voice for the working class. And you bring up an excellent point there. You know, if a business or a plant needs to close down for a week or something to clean, or because there's some issue that comes up, all those workers that would be laid off for that period of time, they're SOL. They're totally out of luck when it comes to, they're just going to have to miss a week's worth of pay because of something that's completely out of their control. I'm going to turn over to Sister Kelly Harrison, who has some thoughts as well about that and some other things when it comes to unemployment. So, Sister Kelly, go ahead.
Thank you, Charlie, for letting me speak with you all today on this little roundtable. This unemployment bill is very personal to myself. My name is Kelly Harrison. I've been a UAW member for over 32 years, and I'm a member at a local 893 in Marshalltown, Iowa. I'm also a servicing representative, and I have over 9,000 active members and 10,000 retirees in the state of Iowa. So I hear some of their stories, and their personal stories, it's really compelling, and I hope that some of them reach out to these legislators to tell their stories. I'm going to give you a little bit of my background and then tell you a little bit of what I've heard from the floor. My father was a laborer for over 50 years, and my husband's a boilermaker. My uncle was a tin knocker. You know, so we've experienced unemployment. When my dad was laid off, or when my dad was working rather, my mom would fill the freezer so that we would have enough food in the wintertime so that we could sustain the winter when jobs weren't available, as a lot of our brothers and sisters in the trades go through today. And then this has been a very trying year for all of us during COVID-19. UAW members continued to work in the IPS units, which is independent parts supply, and in the agricultural units. Many UAW members continued to work during this pandemic because they were considered essential workers. Even when they didn't have enough PPE to keep themselves safe themselves on these jobs, some of them had experienced, you know, having to be home due to COVID. They risked their own health again to go to work. Do we really want to go after these workers? Do we want to take a week's worth of pay because they were laid off because of no fault of their own during a time when unemployment funds are not depleted? Do we really have to do this at this time during a pandemic? And the CARES Act, thank goodness for that, because it provided additional funds to these folks that needed it the most. This was a lifeline to our economy. You know, this is a national disaster, not just in Iowa. And besides, this is our money. This is taxpayer money. And that money went to the state of Iowa to give out to the employees that are laid off in Iowa. And some companies, we all know, are notorious for layoffs. They're notorious for plant shutdowns. You know, that's when they retool. So every year now, our people in our manufacturing facilities are going to give up roughly $1,000 a week. Again, because of no fault of their own. This is something that comes on a regular basis. You know, some people, some of these manufacturers, they build to order. You know, they do their orders and they lay people off. And let's be honest, it's not easy to get on unemployment sometimes. You know, if you live in a rural area, you may not have broadband, so you can't have access to a computer. So now you have to, and during a pandemic, the hours may be shortened at the library where you could use a computer there. Or you're over 50 and you don't know how to use a computer. My husband's a boilermaker. He has to sign up for unemployment regularly. He has issues. He's going to the unemployment office today because he clicked the wrong button on the phone or whatever, and so he lost a week's worth of pay. You know, this is difficult for some people to maneuver the system. So why are we coming after them, you know, at a time when they need it the most, you know, and when you can't talk to a person in person? It's just challenging times for people, and it's something that we don't have to do. And let's be clear, nobody gets rich on unemployment. These folks would rather be working in the factory, you know, and working their 40 hours a week and going home and doing what they always do, what they do best. You know, they know what they're doing in manufacturing, and they're essential to our economy, you know. And here's my story. I was coming back from Black Lake, and I found out on Facebook that my plant was closing. And I worked there for 27 and a half years, and I was devastated. The people in the plant were devastated. They had no warning that plant was going to be closing. So now you're like, well, what do I do? You know, my kids are getting ready to go to college. I wasn't planning on a plant closing. Now I have to get a resume. I haven't written a resume since I was 21 years old. You know, times have changed. We use computers. They were just starting to get computers when I was in high school. So now I have to find out, how do you format it? How do you do this? Thank goodness that I had a kid again, you know, that was getting ready for college. So she helped me maneuver through that. And I was fortunate that I was a UAW member. And I got picked up, you know, to where it's like I had to maneuver the system, you know, while we were going through those troubled times with our members to figure out how do we help them. You know, we had to reach out to resources in the area, because I had brothers and sisters at a plant that, you know, when they found out their plant was closed, then people committed suicide. You know, this is really personal to people. This is life changing. And now you want to cut 13 weeks out of, you know, funds that are available, you know, to these folks when they're not going to get a job right away. I didn't get a job right away. Many of my members, there's 900 of us that were laid off all at the same time, out looking for a job that had comparable wages. They're not out there, folks. You know, I went from $24 an hour, the most jobs that were available, maybe $12. You know, people had to go back to school. Haven't been to school for a long time. I graduated in 1982. That was not my plan, to go back to college. And a lot of my coworkers weren't planning on it either. You know, some did because they were forced to. Some did better. You know, some went and they finished their college degrees. They got to use money that was available through the federal government. And they panned all right. But it is. It's very traumatic, and anxiety sets in, and it takes you a while to get your ducks in a row so that you are available to go to work, where you have your head on right to where you're going to start something new. You know, it's like I built cars for 30 years. I wasn't planning on, you know, not doing that the rest of my life. I wanted to retire from there, as many of my folks do from John Deere or from out in Lennox. You know, these folks, they want to just continue to work and they don't want to lose money. This is, we're picking their pockets again. You know, we're always coming after workers and they're being laid off or losing wages out of no fault of their own. And I think this is a terrible bill and it's going to affect a lot of my members. And I really hope that this, that you would kill this bill and not move it to the floor, you know, so that, you know, why are we always coming after people, you know, that they do the right thing. And now we're attacking them again. So I just hope that they would reconsider.
Thank you, Sister Kelly. I appreciate everything that, that you had to say. But, you know, and one of the things that we've been talking about with this bill, we believe that it disproportionately impacts rural areas. The place of the UAW is in Iowa. Some of those plants are the major industry in that town. And especially if you go back and look at what happened in Newton, and when Maytag closed, right? Would you agree with us that this is something that, you know, unemployment benefits, and Carrie touched on this a little bit, but the, those extra 13 weeks, you know, they help sustain a Main Street, you know, when the private sector falls down, the public sector in the form of unemployment is able to kind of fill that gap. Is that something that, that you see here in Iowa would be the case, especially with the folks you represent in UAW?
It is. It's definitely a lifeline, you know. And like I said, you don't get that check right away. It could be 3 to 4 weeks before you get a check. And if you don't have any money saved up, you know, because some people work paycheck to paycheck, you know, or some folks aren't making 20 some dollars an hour. Maybe they're making $12 an hour. And so, you know, there is no money that you can save because everything is more expensive, you know, so they don't have rainy day funds anymore. You know, so they need that additional funding so that they're not counting on somebody else, nor do they want to count on somebody else. You know, these are benefits that are there to help people, you know. And like I said, like in Maytag, you know, some of those, they're ghost towns when your company leaves. You know, when I got my job, there was probably 10 people on my block that were building new homes because we were all, you know, just employed to a new job. You close that, people leave. You know, they leave the schools, they leave their communities. You know, it'll wipe out a small town.
Thank you, Kelly. Next, we're going to turn it over to Scott Putney, who has a couple of different stories, I think, to share about unemployment. Scott serves currently as the president of the Western Iowa Labor Federation, AFL-CIO. But he's got some stories to tell about, you know, things that he's gone through in his past work life as well, being a worker here in Iowa involving unemployment. So take it away, Scott.
All right. Thank you, Charlie, for giving me the opportunity to speak. My name's Scott Putney. I live in Council Bluffs, Iowa, and I am very strongly opposed to this legislation in regards to changes to the Iowa unemployment law. Make no mistake about it. This is an attack on all workers in the state of Iowa. All workers. It doesn't matter what political party you are. It doesn't matter anything. This is an attack on you, workers in Iowa. Just start with a personal story. In 2014, myself, along with approximately 300 of my coworkers and friends, lost our jobs due to a plant closure. I worked at the plant for almost 26 years, and it was devastating. If you've never been in that position, it's hard to imagine what it's like, what a life-changing event it is. I was very lucky. I was a fortunate one. I was able to transition into a new line of work. I was off work for about 2.5 months. Many of my coworkers were not. Many of my coworkers were older, in their late 50s, early 60s, and they weren't old enough to retire, but transitioning to a new line of work was almost next to impossible. Good jobs are hard to get. And when you lose a good job, it's incredibly hard, especially at an older age in life, to transition and to get new work. These benefits, these extra 13 weeks to some of my friends and coworkers were life-saving. They needed that money to survive, to put food on the table, to put a roof over their head. It was very necessary. My friends and coworkers were not lazy. It's not that they didn't want to work. They wanted to work. They didn't choose to have that plant closed. I didn't choose to have the plant closed. I would still be working there today if I was given the opportunity. In Iowa, you must be actively seeking making job searches through unemployment to continue your benefits, and you have to track that, and they can be looked at. So it's not that people are just sitting back and collecting a gravy train check and not doing anything. They're actively trying to find new employment. And families that are forced to use these benefits, you know, like I said before, they do so to survive. No one is getting rich off unemployment benefits. The other thing I wanted to talk about briefly is scheduled shutdowns. The plant I used to work in, and a plant that a lot of our affiliated unions work in, or people that I know work in, do scheduled shutdowns. They schedule these shutdowns sometimes quarterly, sometimes biannually, sometimes annually, for a week or 2 weeks to do routine maintenance and cleaning. With this legislation, it would strip workers of the money that they need to survive and need to continue to put food on the table. Along the same thing, there's scheduled shutdowns that you wouldn't, this legislation wants to take away a week of a waiting period, make you wait a week before you get unemployment benefits. So that's where you would be a week without pay, as you're waiting 2 to 3 weeks at least anyway to get unemployment. But this would further back that up, and it would eliminate one whole week that you would claim. Another thing is that I personally experienced in the late 2000s, we went through a very slow business. I think a lot of people did with the downturn in economy at that time, to where our business was doing more shutdowns than that. There wasn't enough work. They couldn't sell their product enough. So it got to a point where part of our workforce was every month was taking 1 week off. They were only working 3 weeks a month. So now a business is allowed to close down a plant for 1 week every month, and these employees are getting no benefits for it. This is our taxpayer money that goes into the system. The system is funded good. The system works well the way it is designed right now. There is no reason to make changes right now. Just in closing, I would say that this legislation is an attack on all working people, and it's an attack on our local economy. The money that people get from unemployment, they're not putting it in the bank and waiting. They're spending it immediately on things they need, food, clothing for their families. So this money is going right back into the economy and circulating the economy. Taking away the 1 week waiting period and taking away the 13 weeks will have an adverse effect on every economy in every county across this state.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Scott. I appreciate your story. And I think really our goal here, what we're trying to do is, you know, kind of take a step back from the legislative debate that's going on and really show you exactly how this affects real people, real working Iowans, and in various scenarios, but also just what they personally have gone through in their lives. And I think these stories really speak for themselves and why it's an extremely bad idea to be cutting unemployment benefits during a public health and an economic crisis that we're going through right now. So at that, I'm going to go ahead and say we'll open up questions to the press. I see there's a question from Kathy Obradovich. This bill has been proposed in the past, but it hasn't made it through. Do you think something is different about it this year? Kathy, the difference in the past 2 years, these bills have been proposed before by Iowa Workforce Development. And Workforce Development is, clearly a government agency, and this is a policy that they wanted to move forward. This year, it's being pushed by the Association for Business and Industry, the NFIB, the Iowa Chamber Alliance, and various Chamber of Commerce's, local Chambers of Commerce's. So, what's the difference this year compared to other years is that you have, the bill isn't being advanced by a department, it's being advanced by big business and being advanced by people with big pockets and, let's just say, fancy shoes, if anyone listened to the committee hearing last night. So that's the real difference this year that I see, is that this year's effort is all about big business and who's moving it forward.
And we have an update from Laura Bellin from the Bleeding Heartland blog. The companion bills that would cut unemployment benefits made it through the labor committees in both chambers by March 5th. So they are eligible for floor debate in the Iowa House and Senate. neither has come up for a floor vote. If passed, these bills would go into effect on July 1st, 2022. That's it for Sprouts. You have been listening to GOP unemployment bills that are alarming Iowa workers. Our contributors this week were Dennis Hart, journalist and host of Capital Week, and Laura Bellin, author of the blog Bleeding Heartland. Editing by Susan Franzen of KHOI Radio. A special thanks to Charlie Wishman and the Iowa Federation of Labor, or the AFL-CIO. The Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. Thanks to Brian David at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to showcase nationally on Sprouts, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I'm Stephanie Schubert with Pacifica Network. Thank you for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM online.
Why do you love KBOO? Tell us what you most love about KBOO Community Radio, and we will